All right, so let's open in prayer. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we could spend together, looking into your scriptures and wanting to study your word and to proclaim it. Pray that you make these sessions helpful, that you teach me and teach through me, I ask. We ask this in the name of your Son, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Thank you for coming.
You're welcome.
What this is not. This is not going to be how to study or how to preach like Ray, because I'm nobody. I'm really nobody. So this is not about that. What I'm trying to do here is just put tools in everybody's hands that we can use for studying and preaching your way, so that you preach the way you preach and you study, perhaps the way you study, but maybe having this extra tools in your hands to go about studying. So this is not about how to do it like me, and I don't want that to be the case. This is also not about how to speak better. There's classes you could take for that. Speech classes that you could go to learn how to speak and do those things. But this isn't about that, because what we're going to be doing is actually going into the text, trying to see what it says, trying to come up with ways to tell other people about it, but not necessarily do it from a speaking platform, like from the pulpit or anything like that. This could be preaching is telling people what the Lord says in Scripture, but it doesn't necessarily have to be done from the platform. It could be done on the bus to the person next to you. It could be done walking down the street. Women can preach the word. They can preach to women. They could preach to friends. They could preach the word. So it's not necessarily how you speak, because there's some speaking that could be done with stammering, and the message still comes out. And in fact, when we read the book of John, one of the greatest messages that was preached in that message was by a woman in John 4. You remember that? And this woman, she just meets the Lord, and she's speaking with him, and she's discovering him, and she finds out things about herself through him. And the first thing she does, she goes to a group of people, and she tells them, there's a person here that told me everything about myself. Can this be the Messiah? And then they go and find out. And the text says that they went there and then they believed them. And they said, now we believe. Not because of your testimony only, but because we've heard him. And that's what we're doing with preaching. We're telling people and we're bringing them to the Lord so that the Lord is the one who's speaking. So that's why this is not about speaking better. This is about preaching at the end. Also, this is not about knowing everything there is to know about whatever text we're reading. The book of John, in fact, the whole scripture, it's like a fruit that keeps on giving. You ever eat an orange and sit down and eat an orange and you pull back the skin and you suck at it? I don't know if you guys do that, but Dominicans, we eat our fruit kind of disgusting. So we'll take a mango, for example, cut it, and we'll sit there with the juices dripping and sucking at the thing. But then the juice runs out, and you have a husk of a seed, and you chuck it. Same thing with the orange. You chew it, and you suck it, and you eat up all the pulp, and then you just have the skin. The Bible's not like that. The Word of God keeps going. So when you read your Psalm 119, when the psalmist talks about the scriptures, he's like, oh man, I think about it all day and night. Oh man, it's a light unto my path. Oh, this is fantastic. So the scriptures is like this fruit that you can just keep sucking on. So that's just a way of saying this is not about getting everything we can out of the book of John. It's not going to be possible in this lifetime. I don't think it's going to be possible in this eternity. There are still things that are to be found. I'm telling you, I've read the book of John several times. I'm sure you guys were reading it too. I've studied it a few times. I'm sure you've studied it too. And I was still getting things, even over this month, where I was saying, read it from another version. So I read it from the, not the NIV, what did I use? The New Living Translation. It's very loose, but it was just enough to change my comfort zone, and I was reading it and seeing things that I hadn't seen before because I normally read from the NASB. So the Word of God is something that just keeps on giving. So that being said, that means that during this study, don't expect it to be only me giving you information. I'm wanting to get stuff from you too. I am a very selfish person. So I invite people to study with me with the excuse that I'm doing something, but then I'm trying to get stuff from you too. And then I put it into my pocket. So please feel free to share. We're recording everything on the mic. It's supposed to be picking up everything in the room. So if you have something to say, just speak, and we should be able to pick it up. Okay? That being said, so I wanted to start just to give you an overview of how these things will work. It's going to be about 25 minutes of talk, and then maybe there might be discussion during there, and then we'll do like sort of workshop getting into the stuff, into the scriptures. But in the talk section, for example, for today, since this is the first session, and there's people here of different levels, my son, for example, might not know why we have to preach the word. It's possible. And so I'm going to be starting way back, trying to get to the point of why we study and why we preach. So if you turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and here's Paul. Now, here's what's great about this letter. This is probably one of the last letters Paul wrote. Here he is. He's ready. He's just about thinking that it's done, you know? So he writes this letter to Timothy. So what's the things that you would write in a letter when you're thinking, man, my life is over? What do I want to say? What's my parting words? And look at what he says in 2 Timothy chapter 3. He tells Timothy in verse 10, now, Timothy, you followed my teaching. You followed my conduct, my purpose, my faith, my patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, and what persecutions I endured. And out of them all, the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. So stop there for a second. So Paul, talking to Timothy, tells him, you know what, Timothy? My life has been a life that was an example, and I've suffered, and I was persecuted. And he tells him, everybody who's expecting to live like this for the Lord, expect to be persecuted. And then he warns him. I want to give these parting words. What's up, Tom? I want to give these parting words. And he tells him, you know what, Timothy? There's going to be people who are coming from bad to worse. And these people, he doesn't say that they're from the outside. He says they're imposters. Do you know what that means? That his last warning that he's giving to Timothy is telling him there's going to be people who are fakers. That means that there's not unbelievers. He's warning him about problems in the church. And the last things he's telling Timothy is like, there's going to be problems in the church. There's going to be people who are fakers, who come up and they go from bad to worse. Now keep going there. Verse 14, you, Timothy, however, continue in the things that you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. This is important too, because what he tells Timothy, we take this, and sometimes we take it to apply to me. Ah, the things I've learned from childhood and from whom taught me. But I can tell you that from my childhood, I might have learned some very wrong things. Paul is saying the things you've learned, he says in that earlier verse there, the things you've seen of me. And then he's telling him, he's confirming what he's learned from the people who taught him. So Paul, the apostle, knows the teaching that Timothy got as a young boy, and he knows it was right teaching. And not only that, Paul knows he was a teacher of Timothy, and he knows it was right teaching. So he's telling Timothy, follow that right teaching. Stick to that. So that's what he's telling them. And he says that this teaching, known through the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. This is where in 2 Timothy chapter 3. So he's telling them that teaching that was grounded in the scriptures, that was what was able to bring salvation. That was what brings you to Christ, not something else. He doesn't say anything about the way his grandmother lived or the way his mother lived. Nothing about that. He talks about the way he lives, but he ties it back to what is the main point. Look at verse 10 again. Now you followed my teaching. Paul is talking about his teaching grounded in the scriptures. All right, and then look at verse 16. This is why this is important. Going to the scriptures, why studying the scriptures is important. All scripture, every bit of it, is inspired by God. That means breathed out by God. And is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. So that the man of God may be adequate, or in some versions it says complete, or some versions says perfected, equipped for every good work. That means that this teaching from the scripture, this teaching, when you're studying this and you're grounded in this, this is enough. Nothing else. We don't need anything else. Paul is saying that the man of God may be adequate, complete, equipped for every good work. So, for the good works that the Christian is to do, in Ephesians 2, we're told that these works that have been set out before us, for us to walk in them, the scriptures is what equips us for that good work. That means this class is unnecessary, essentially. I just worked out of the process here. But that also means that the scriptures is not equipped to tell you how to change an oil furnace. That's not what the scriptures are doing. Or how to design a computer, or how to put in drop ceiling. It's not doing that. But it does tell you how to do it under your boss, and how to do it with your customers, and how you treat your books, and how you report your taxes. It tells you the approach that you use for those things. That's where the good work is found. And in fact, it even tells you on how diligently you do the work. So do you do a shoddy job? I just put it in because it's not in the scripture. No. The scriptures is actually telling you to do the best work you can. So that's what the scriptures is doing. So why are we studying this? Because this book, this is what helps us. This is what equips us. This is where God is speaking. But not only that, this is where it connects to the preaching aspect. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. So here it's still that same letter. Paul is still giving those final words to Timothy. And he tells him, I solemnly charge you, in the presence of God, this is verse 1, and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Sorry, did I
you might, said
first. Yeah, sorry about that. 2 Timothy chapter 4. So he's charging him in the presence of God. So this is pretty hefty stuff, that he's standing in front and he's saying, Timothy, now you're standing here in front of God, of Christ Jesus, who's coming to judge the living and the dead. This is the charge. And he tells him in verse 2, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Now, do you see that verse there, verse 2? Rebuke, reprove, exhort, and instruction. Doesn't it sound like something we just read in 2 Timothy 3:16? Where the scriptures are to teach, to reprove, to correct, and to train. It's connected. So Paul is telling Timothy, those scriptures which equip you, I want you to equip others with those scriptures, preaching the word. Now that doesn't mean that Timothy has to do it in front of the pulpit in Ephesus. Not necessarily. In fact, Timothy's a comparably young guy to the other guys who are in Ephesus. And Paul knows the problems that are going to be happening there. So Paul's telling Timothy, you got to get involved and you got to be preaching at every chance you get and teaching and doing these things. Now, when he's teaching is a funny thing, because when Paul is telling Timothy to teach and to preach. And when he tells later on in Titus, he tells the women to teach other women. When you're going into the scripture, there's different levels of ability and speaking regarding these things. You can teach children, and some people are very well equipped to teach children. And some people do a very good job of speaking to teenagers, and some to adults, and some to elderly. So here's the point. And to women. So here's the point of this. We're told to teach, and we're told to stick close to the scripture, but that doesn't necessarily tell you that you're gifted, that you have the gift of teaching. Remember that long list of gifts in Romans chapter 12, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in 1 Peter 4. Those lists of gifts, and in Ephesians 4, where it talks about that these gifts have been given to the church. And it says that some are pastors and some are teachers, rather. Some are evangelists. So Christ gives these gifts. Just because Paul is saying, preach in season, out of season, teach, do these things, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have the gift of doing it. It doesn't necessarily mean that. But it doesn't mean that you don't do it. I think this is a little bit of what it means to be doing it out of season. It means you do it. And you stumble through it, and it might be a message that you just learned, like that woman, the Samaritan woman. She had some really bad theology, some really bad ideas about God. She thought that the temple was supposed to be in her hill, that the Jews had it all wrong. And then after a 15-minute conversation, changed her mind. But she picked up some truth, and she goes and speaks that truth based on the word of the Lord. And she stumbles through it. But people come. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have the gift to teach, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you don't do it. So that means that sometimes you'll sit there and somebody asks you a question and you don't know the answer. And here's some honesty. The answer to those questions that you don't know the answer to is, I don't know. I need to keep studying. But that doesn't necessarily make these things wrong. The scriptures are enough. It means that we have to go back to the scriptures. That's all it means. So when we're to be studying the word, and these sessions where we're going to be going in and studying so that we can tell others, that doesn't necessarily mean that we're not going to stumble through it, that we're not going to mess up as we're saying things, but it does mean that that just makes us cling closer to the scriptures. So what Paul is telling Timothy, this is pretty key here. Stick close to the word. Preach it. This is what you want to stick close to. This is it. So if it winds up being that you're telling people about the Lord based on memorizing verses, so be it. That's the word you're preaching. If it means that you're taking the exact words that are there and presenting them in modern English, so be it. Stick close to the scriptures. The problems come when you decide to close the scriptures and you forget what it says there and you start trying to sell a good acting religion. That's when the problems come. Oh, you know what? You should come to our church. Why? Well, because, you know, we have some great programs for kids. What's that?